Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, we talk about the latest player out of Minnesota who could be on the trade block.
Then we share a conversation with Derek Jones Jr. from Sacramento before talking about other takeaways from Summer League. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the Heat in the NBA for FanSided. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Romello, credentialed NBA writer who has covered the Heat and league at large for SB Nation and FanSided. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at TRomel13.
I got a chance to talk with Derek Jones Jr. after his first Summer League game, and we'll play that conversation later on before David and I talk about our Summer League takeaways. But first, let's get to this report from the Chicago Sun-Times that Jimmy Butler has no intention of re-signing with the Timberwolves after this season because he's fed up with the younger players' lack of effort. Now, this could be Butler's camp trying to force a trade ahead of time, and if I'm Pat Riley, and if that's the case, I'm calling up the Timberwolves right now and trying to work out a deal because Butler would be a dream scenario for the Heat, David. This is the kind of guy who can attract other stars to Miami, potentially.
That's absolutely the case. In fact, one of the things that they included in that report is that he had looked to possibly build the foundation of a super team alongside Kyrie Irving, his former teammate from the USA basketball men's team. And so the two of them were both looking ahead, saying that they would not sign extensions this summer, respectively, Irving with the Celtics and Butler with the Timberwolves, obviously. So already there might be some machinations there between the two players. Machinations has a kind of negative connotation to it. More like, you know, they're friends and they're talking about what they might potentially do next summer. Now, if you think back, you know, obviously there's so much to break down there. Butler has ties to Dwayne Wade, who obviously is a foundational piece of Miami Heat culture. But Kyrie Irving, well, when he had requested a trade from Cleveland Cavaliers, one of the teams that he listed as a potential landing spot was the Miami Heat. So there's some connection there, some hope that maybe Miami might be interested in luring both players there. It takes a lot to actually make that a possibility. But I kind of want to go into how, not necessarily verifying it, but you know, this report, it smacks that it's there's actual truth to it, right? I mean, it's not like pulled out of thin air. One of the things that I saw when I was covering the team was that there might be some, let's say, they didn't quite see eye to eye as far as how to approach the day-to-day process of being a basketball player. Jimmy Butler, a guy who works constantly, has worked to get to the point where he is. Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns, those guys. You know, they're younger. They're not quite as sure as what their careers are going to be like. Much more talented, I'd say. And kind of, not to say that they don't work in their own way, but not necessarily as dedicated to the craft as Butler is, and kind of more relying on their incredible individual talent than anything else. And so, you know, with Thibodeau being the head coach in Minnesota there and putting that kind of pressure on his younger players, that seems like a team that's kind of ripe for explosion, to be honest with you. There seems like there might be some dysfunction taking place in that Timberwolves locker room, and this is a great opportunity for Miami to pounce. Pat Riley in particular, having built decades as a general manager on exploiting situations like this, so I can imagine that he'd probably be interested in luring somebody like Butler to his team if he could. Or conversely, if Butler isn't a realistic option, taking, you know, one of Towns or Wiggins away from that team.
These are all options that we've talked about, but you're absolutely right. You spend any amount of time in that Minnesota locker room and national media and people have been talking a lot about for about a year now that locker room isn't quite right, that Jimmy Butler is just on another level right now than Wiggins and Towns. And I don't necessarily blame Wiggins and Towns, but there's such a dichotomy in the personality between Tom Thibodeau and Jimmy Butler on sort of one end of the spectrum. And then Towns and Wiggins, who are just now getting into the league and have to figure this kind of stuff out. And it's just – that's a struggle for a guy like Butler, who is smack dab in the middle of his prime, sort of having to wait for these other guys to come along. And he's just – he's not LeBron James level where he could just carry a group of players that are still before their prime. I mean, you look at LeBron. He was able to just sort of carry a young Kyrie Irving to the finals and win him a championship. And Kyrie Irving sort of blossomed in that. Jimmy Butler's not quite that level, but you can understand why he would be then frustrated, because he's just looking around. He's like, look, you've got all the talent in the world. Be better than where you are. And I just think it takes time for guys like Towns and Wiggins. So I don't necessarily blame anybody, though I'm not inside that locker room. I don't know if necessarily Wiggins is just, you know, writing off checks right now and Towns is just living on Easy Street with Jack Link's commercials. But I think something's got to give there. And it makes sense to me that it could either be I could see Thibodeau leaving, if not for the fact that he basically runs the organization.
He does, yeah.
And so Wiggins, given his contract, right, is going to be a really difficult player to move. And I don't know that that necessarily fixes any issues other than just some cap relief, you know? I don't see them moving Wiggins and then suddenly getting better. And then I don't see they would be crazy to move on from Towns. I mean, if you had to force them to trade one of Butler or Towns, you keep Towns and you trade Butler and you kind of
bite
the bullet.
That's your perspective, though. I don't think Thibodeau thinks along those lines.
You're right, but I also don't think that ownership would ever sign off on trading Towns. And so I don't see that as an option.
Would they rather just bite the bullet and fire Thibodeau and eat that contract as a team coach and general manager, and then try to retain Towns, and knowing that he's going to be your foundational piece over Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, maybe. But they put a lot of money into Thibodeau, and that's a big deal. I don't know that they're ready to move on from him. And I wonder if the big thing with Butler is that he's got a player option after this season. He could just leave. He doesn't need Thibodeau's consent. He doesn't need to worry about what talent. He could just leave, and you could fire Thibodeau, and Butler could still just leave, and it wouldn't matter because Butler would still be there with Towns and Wiggins or one of them. And I don't know that that's necessarily – if you trade Towns, Butler's gone, you know? Like, why would he stay? It's not like you're going to replace Towns with a better option for him. So
– No, but could you – I don't remember what Jeff Teague's contract was, but could Kyrie go to Minnesota? Not realistically, right? He couldn't play for Thibodeau.
Yeah, I don't see Kyrie – I mean, this is a guy who had dreams, like you said, of Miami – has constantly been connected to one of those New York teams, like the Knicks or the Nets. I don't see him – moving to Minnesota. I just don't see it.
No, I know. And I think, you know, to go back to what we were talking about, Miami seems like such an ideal situation for both, right? I mean, for Kyrie, it's a chance to take over in the limelight, a team that's had championship success that knows how to get the most out of him. For Butler, a team that's so committed to work and striving to be the best, a commitment to defense, et cetera. It seems like an ideal situation. Now, I mean, we're talking crazy pipe dreams that it would be around the same level as what happened in 2010.
Can I be honest with you? I don't think that this is a crazy pipe dream. I think this is a very realistic scenario. We talked earlier this week about the Heat needing their Al Horford. Jimmy Butler is their Al Horford. He is so well, and you know this, so well respected around the NBA that players would want to play with him. He's got, like you mentioned, the Team USA experience. That really matters. You specifically have talked about the fact that Josh Richardson, Winslow, and Bam are nice young players that you can potentially build around, but don't have the relationships in the NBA that it takes to.
Yeah, we're staying in Golden State. You know, Boogie Cousins comes there because he's partnered with Draymond Green and Kevin Durant on Team USA.
That's what it takes to get things done. I mean, we could talk about Tristan Riley all day long. It does not matter. Right. It doesn't matter if you don't have the guy that players want to play with. And Dwayne Wade, I'm glad you mentioned him earlier because he is in particular the interesting bridge here. He is that small piece that I don't think or who could, as his final act as a Miami Heat player, leave the franchise in a better position than he found it and convincing his very, very close friend. I mean, Jimmy Butler, when we talk about mentors, it's Dwayne Wade and then it's everybody else for Jimmy Butler. I mean, it is nobody is up to par of Dwayne Wade as far as mentors go for Jimmy Butler. And if Wade can convince Butler to come to Miami, and I think it would be easy, and I'm sure, look, the Miami Heat culture, that Miami Heat organization would be basketball nirvana for Jimmy Butler. If he is worried about the younger players not trying hard enough, the Heat are they've got nothing, they don't have the talent that Minnesota does, but they've got nothing but a bunch of tryhards on that team. And that's what they are made up of. It would be basketball nirvana for Butler. And then he could go and sell a very close friend like Kyrie Irving and say, look, LeBron's out west. We can dominate the East for years. You know Boston. We could go beat them. And if Butler and Kyrie pair up, I mean, that's one of the top teams in the East. Probably not as good as the Celtics, probably not as good as the Sixers, but you could build on it. And if
Absolutely.
You and if you get those guys in, you could start. You could build on that. You can let guys, and if you get them in free agency, you can get other guys to sort of develop around them, depending on what they'd have to trade for Jimmy Butler. Because I think you'd have to trade for Jimmy Butler now. I don't because they don't have cap space. They wouldn't be able to sign him outright, but they Correct. Might be able to sign Kyrie down the line. But let's talk about,
well, let's see if that would be like a two-part thing. Like, you trade for Jimmy Butler at one stage, you also trade for Carmelo, another former Team USA teammate perhaps, mm-hmm. and then when his contract comes off the books, all of a sudden you have space to sign Kyrie Irving outright. Is that something
that would be the way to do it, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Or Pat Riley, who has been reluctant to trade Whiteside for peanuts, then trades Whiteside for peanuts. Could be a way to do it.
I see like Andy Ellisberg's ears perk up when these rumors start floating out here, because I'm sure he starts crunching the numbers right away to see what the possibilities would be. So,
well, let's talk quickly about what the possibilities are, right? Because the obvious one that lines up is Tyler Johnson for Jimmy Butler. That's not going to happen. Tyler Johnson and picks for Jimmy Butler, probably still not going to happen. Tyler Johnson, yeah, he's a player who tries really hard, but you're not trading an all-star like Butler for a guy who tries really hard. And I don't think that they'd be looking for picks because they've kind of got their young guys.
Yeah.
And it would probably just take picks in general to offload Tyler. So I don't want to hear any Tyler Johnson for Butler stuff. That's not going to happen.
Justice. Adebayo.
It would be probably, looking at their contracts, Butler's making about $18.6 million, I think, off the top of my head. That's what he's doing, actually. $18.6 million, yeah. Almost $18.7 million. It would probably take one of James Johnson and Deion Waiters plus Justice Winslow. I wonder if
they would do that. I think
they would, only because you're getting a guy like Justice Winslow who fits a real need for them and doesn't take the ball out of Towns or Wiggins' hands necessarily.
Right.
And then you get a guy like James Johnson who would fit in really well with that team, or Deion Waiters who could do some nice
stuff. And Winslow fits in that timeline. Wait, didn't he play a... I'm sorry. I'm thinking Karl-Anthony Towns went to Kentucky.
I was thinking
it was same year that they went to the draft together, but that was Ja Okafor who played at Duke alongside Winslow.
And I wonder if Butler is positioning himself to be in the driver's seat with what this trade is, that could be enough. Now, if the Heat have to ump the ante here, it would probably take Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow or Bam. It would probably take two of those three guys, or it would definitely take Richardson's because... It would take Richardson because his contract matches up well, and then one of Winslow or Bam. Would you do that for Jimmy Butler? And I think if this is even a conversation, Miami has assurances. They're like 90% sure that he would re-sign in Miami.
Yeah, I think that's true. I'm not too worried about the re-signing aspect. I think Miami being Miami, the franchise being what it is, and Butler's fit there, I think that's it would probably just play out pretty naturally that way. As far as what you'd give up, run it by me again. It would be Justice,
Josh Richardson, plus either Winslow or Bam
for Butler. Jimmy Butler.
It's a lot.
No picks.
Trading hands either way.
Yes, you do it.
Either one, Winslow or Bam, doesn't matter.
Yes. Yeah. Preferably Winslow, I think.
I mean, Richardson and Bam are probably the Miami's top two assets right now. It would be really tough, but I think you probably do it, only because Butler is like best case scenario Josh Richardson, and who knows what happens with Winslow next season anyway, as far as his free agency goes. So, yeah, I don't know. You'd probably have to do it, but it would be tough because I love Justice Winslow. It would be tough to say bye. Yeah, but look, I do still think James Johnson plus Winslow and maybe a future pick is a possibility. I think that's a real possibility. We obviously have no inside knowledge, but I think based on the lack of leverage that Minnesota would have, you could potentially get him for, you know, pennies on the dollar there. Okay, well, the Heat beat reporters and I talked with Derek Jones Jr. after Monday's Summer League game, and he talked a lot about the work that he's put into his jumper over the summer. We'll play that after this quick break. Back with Locked On Heat, Bam Adebayo and Derek Jones Jr. are the standout for the Heat Summer League team so far. Here's Derek's interview after he scored 24 points in Monday night's game.
You signed a standard contract and you're playing like an NBA guy already. How'd that feel out there?
Good. I mean, it's good to go back out there and get to playing again. I've been working out all summer with my guys, and it's just good to get out there and be able to play an organized game with everybody.
You talked about it, and Coach Glass talked about it yesterday. What have you done specifically with your outside shot? Anything you've worked on specifically, or is it just getting up shots?
We tweaked a few things, but I mean, it's just mostly getting shots up. Just putting reps in and just time in the gym. I mean, we log in time, and I mean, I don't plan on logging out until I reach my goal.
Just the importance of that, you know, adding that element, because we obviously know all the athletic things you can do and rebounding and defense, but just that element and how important that is to your career.
You have to be able to shoot in this league or you ain't gonna stick. I mean, it's simple as that. I mean, I learned that I had to develop a jump shot at a young age, a young NBA age. And I mean, I'm doing that right now, so.
So the motivation is all there, you know, obviously. I mean, are you the kind of guy who's at the gym at all hours, like, you know, midnight shooting jumpers just to you get this right, or what's kind of been the work ethic behind the scenes?
I guess whenever I need to be in the gym, I mean, I don't do nothing when I'm home. I mean, I just be relaxing. Mm-hmm. So whenever I got free time, which is 24 hours in a day, mm-hmm. I'm in the gym. Mm-hmm.
And you go in, do you have specific, like, numbers to put up a day, you know, 100 or 500? Are there a number, or are you just whatever time you have, you shoot, you did?
No.
Whether it's 100 or 500 or whatever. So there's no specific number to each day?
No, that's no specific number for me. I mean, I just go in there until I feel like my jump shot feels right. And when it feels right, then I try to repeat that over and over and over again. And once it feels like second nature, that's when, I mean, I feel like my day has been semi-complete. And I mean, we go back later on in that day and get extra shots up. And so my jump shot can feel perfect.
Derek, knowing what you're trying to work on developmentally, knowing what the coaches are asking of you, what would make this a good summer league for you?
Playing like that every game, knocking down shots whenever I get open shots, and playing lockdown defense, rebounding. I mean, I didn't have that many assists today, but next game I'm going to get on that stat sheet and getting steals, deflections. I mean, doing everything that I can.
You know, obviously the coaching staff has worked with you. Is there any players around the league that have maybe helped you see things that you didn't see before with the shot, that, you know, things that are sort of helping you out?
My Miami Heat teammates. Okay. I mean, I really don't conversate with players around the league like that. I mean, if it ain't my teammate, what's the point of talking to them? I mean, I really don't see what the point of talking to other people is, especially talking about my game. I mean, mm-hmm. then that's when they can learn my game and they can find my flaws. That's something that I don't need right now.
Any guy in particular with the team that you spend maybe a lot of time with?
Everybody. I mean, me, Bam, and D-Walt was in the gym this whole summer together. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we working together. And, I mean, it showed on the court. We felt comfortable together. And just having the guys that came with us this summer league, and just a few practices that we had, I feel comfortable with the team we have. And we gonna go out tomorrow night and get back to work.
You mentioned being a more complete player. Obviously, the threes were going in, and that was a focus for you. But you seemed aggressive trying to get in passing lanes and try to get steals. Was that also a focus for you?
Defense always comes first for me. I mean, the offensive game is coming a long way. And I mean, I pride myself on the defensive end. I mean, I really don't worry about scoring like that. I mean, if I get an open shot, I'm not going to pass up on it. So, I mean, I worked on my game so much. What's the point of passing up a shot that I worked on so much? So, I get open three, I'm taking it. I get open lane, I'm taking it. And I just try to harp on the defensive end and just get steals so I can get my fast breaks and show my athleticism out.
How'd the dunk feel?
Wonderful. I think it was my first one today. So I told myself I was going to get at least one today, so I got that one.
Derek, you try to bulk up a little bit at all. I mean, I guess, have you been successful? I guess, how much have you sort of been able to add to the frame?
Lifting every day.
Do you feel a difference is what I'm saying? Do you feel like it?
Oh, yeah.
Or where do you feel it, I guess, mostly?
Everywhere, man. Mm-hmm. my condition is a lot better. I mean, getting to the lane, I'm not getting knocked off my path like I was last season. I mean, my game has changed since I got here. So,
thank you, man.
Thank you.
Back with Locked On Heat. So Bam and DJ are the standouts through Summer League so far, and we just heard DJ talk about the work that he's put in this summer, and the Heat signed him to a regular contract after he played last season on a two-way deal. I really like his potential, David, and I think he could play some meaningful minutes off the end of the bench this season as sort of like this long 3-and-D-ish guy. He's got like shades of Gerald Green, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, there's certainly the athletic explosion there. That's always been the case. I remember when the trade first took place to acquire. No, was he bought out from Phoenix or traded? I can't remember now. I'm sorry.
I think they bought him on as a free agent.
They did. Okay.
Yeah.
He had been bought out by the Phoenix Suns, and then he was signed by Miami. But I remember talking to some Phoenix folks, and the feeling there was, look, he hadn't been able to break through in that lineup, even as young as it was. They hadn't really had a stable coaching scenario there that could help mentor and bring him along. And so he just never really had the opportunity to develop. And I think Miami has already shown him the keys to that as far as being able to take his game to another level. He's talked about that commitment to defense. He's showing more of a commitment to long-range shooting. These are the things that were specifically lacking from his game. And to see him not just working on those, but being able to implement them, albeit in a summer league situation, but still being able to incorporate those into his game and mix that up with his already obvious athleticism is nothing but a great sign. So, I mean, he started some games, showed some promise, didn't do anything particularly well. Again, he was just a guy who is very athletic, kind of lost in spots there on defense. But once he ties that all together, he's got the body, the length, the athleticism. That's there. That's never going to go away. That's obvious. That's his biggest strength. But being able to somehow find a way to stroke the ball at a high level and maybe play some consistent defense, that would make him, I think, a very versatile player off the bench.
And specifically, I mean, if Wayne Ellington doesn't make his way back to Miami, I mean, this is if he's really put the work in here to his three-point shot, and we're recording this after one summer league game, and I don't want to overreact, but
sure,
the stroke looks good, and it looks more consistent. And the way he talked about it is, there was certain mechanical things that he fixed, and he's getting a lot of shots up, and he's trying to be a better three-point shooter. And you know, maybe he can't singularly replace Deion or Wayne Ellington, but if you combine him with Rodney Magruder and Tyler Johnson and Deion coming back, you start to put these pieces together where you're able to maybe even get a little bit more three-point shooting or more diversity from your three-point shooting than basically just relying on Wayne Ellington or bust. And so that particular skill is really important. And then, you know, I tried to ask him towards the end of that conversation about his defensive efforts, like specifically trying to jump passing lanes and be aggressive in getting steals and causing transition opportunities. And he talked about putting himself in position to really use his athleticism, you know, breaking up passing lanes, getting steals, and then dunking at the other end, which is a tremendous asset for a Heat team that got bogged down offensively quite a bit last season. So I think his skill set really works, and the Heat internally just seem pretty high on him. I don't know that they view him as, you know, a franchise player necessarily, but like just as a guy who you can bring on for 2 years and just sort of be that Rodney Magruder type of guy who just you get for basically for free in lieu of draft picks that they don't have, especially in the second round right now for cheap, and you just bring them in, you develop them through the Sioux Falls Skyforce system, and now suddenly they're able to play as your 12th, 13th, 14th guy, and that's a very valuable, like you've got, at the end of the day, you can't have a team of Kevin Durant unless you're the Warriors. You can just have, you need five or six guys who just sit on the end of the bench and are comfortable in their roles, and you can just call them up when you need them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's such a strength to be able to have somebody like that you can develop. I know people are very frustrated right now with the start of free agency and the draft having just passed. Not a lot of activity from Miami except for the signing of Derrick Jones Jr. And you look at that game and you have to say to yourself, you know what? Maybe it's not all so bad. This is a guy who can contribute, who can chip in. Think of him as a second round pick with some potential there. Yeah. And maybe things aren't as dire. You're not paying him a whole heck of a lot of money. You've got him signed there for 2 years at a relatively low cost. He's already got NBA experience. He's still young enough to take another leap, several leaps in his career. And he's showing the willingness to work. And I think that's, look, in context of what we were just talking about to Minnesota, you know, talent isn't enough in this league. We've seen Derek Williams was a guy who was drafted by, it was the Minnesota Timberwolves many, yes. many years ago. Had all the talent in the world, showed real flashes in his 1 year at the University of Arizona, and unfortunately just never made it into the NBA. He was a guy who played for seven coaches in a six-year career, you know, bounced all over the place, just never really could figure out. And you know, sometimes talent doesn't translate into success at the NBA level. It takes work to get there and to make it something, make it a long, productive career. We're starting to see flashes from Derrick Jones Jr. Maybe not enough to convince you that Miami could be a title contender. Who cares? You know, but at the same time, you want to see progress, and this is definitely in that right direction.
And then as far as talent goes, I mean, Bam Adebayo has bundles of it, and Miami, for the second summer in a row, are basically playing Bam at point guard. And it's, look, it got us talking a lot about his raw talent last summer after the draft. I mean, it was something that we just didn't expect to see. Like, all we heard was quick feet kind of after the draft. You know, we didn't hear can play point guard, at least at a summer league level. But there is a desire from this Heat organization to see more of Bam playing point guard. And they are doing that in summer league. Like, this is not going to translate to the regular season, more likely than not. But
Why doesn't it?
Because I just don't want to be hopeful. I don't want to raise it, because we thought that maybe this would be a thing last year, and we saw nothing of it during the regular season. So maybe,
right.
But maybe going forward, I mean, they'd have to find some playing time for him first and foremost. Maybe that's the goal. That they've got so many centers that they're just going to play Bam at point guard. Look, there is a real effort there to see what he could do in that situation. And I asked Eric Glass after the game. I was like, is this just experimenting? And he kind of talked to me a little bit about, you know, why they want to run Bam through pick and rolls and things like that. And there is a real reason that they're doing this. And I'm interested to see how that pans out. Because at some point, you're right, maybe it won't be this season, but at some point, it's going to show up on the NBA level. I don't know when, I don't know where, but it's going to show up because there's a reason they're doing this.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got more Sacramento Summer League, and then they'll be heading to Las Vegas after that. But Bam and DJ right now are the standouts. It'll be interesting to see the other guys, and we'll try to get some conversations that we could play on here later on as well. But for now, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. As always, you can reach us by email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter by using the hashtag AskYellowHeat. Support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.